Many aspiring musicians most often don't get the balanced mentorship that they need to be functional away from their music. Most grow up desiring to travel the world and play on the big stage, but they end up neglecting their natural God-given role as just being a good man or woman, husband or wife, and father or mother. The good musicians are often told that they have a musical gift and end up going through life believing all they are supposed to do in life is play their instrument for a living. The irony behind this thinking is when musicians receive this as their only purpose, they limit their full potential as a human being and struggle to develop other skills outside of music. This is The Christian Musician, an audiobook that I have available on audible.com. You can listen to it for free if you start your free trial with Audible today by going to QuamonFowler.com/audiobook. This book will really bless you.
Welcome to the Productive Cube Podcast. This show is all about empowering you with biblical principles and practical resources to help you overcome being unproductive so you can produce in the area of your passion. Now your host, Quamon Fowler.
What's going on? This is Quamon Fowler of the Productive Cube Podcast, where I help you overcome being unproductive so you can produce in the area of your passion. And today I am going to talk to you about a few different things, but what I was doing is doing a live stream this time around and wanted to do something different and kind of shoot from the hip, and also see some of the comments that come in through Facebook. Now, if you want to get in on the conversation, connect with me on my Facebook page. I know my personal one is full, so sometimes people will unfriend me when I post something that they don't like, and you can probably get in that way. Otherwise, you have to follow the Quamon Fowler Musician / Educator. I think that one is Quamon. Facebook.com/ Texas Tenor Music. So you can follow me there and connect. But yeah, so I'm just trying to do something different with the Productive Cube Podcast while still be posting them the audio, but I wanted to try to pull in the video element. So this is a question and answer, or I'm going to actually answer or deal with some of the comments that come in through Facebook. So the first one comes from a musician. He actually was a student of mine. He actually is a student of mine virtually now through the Texas Tenor Music Academy. But he asked the question because I was talking about the different things that I've gotten into as being self-employed and then trying to transition or move into being a business owner. But also I was talking about the investing in the other things outside of music. So the question came in, he wanted me to touch on how I got into investing and creating streams of income outside of music. So that's a great question. Great question. So appreciate it. That's P Manziel. So how did I get into it? Okay. So first of all, what I did, earlier on, like 2004, 2005, when I was in Lubbock, I was really digging into business opportunities. I would say probably like 2006, 2007. I was interested in this idea of passive income. And I was, of course, we get passive income through putting our CDs and digital albums out, and people will buy those, of course. And I was thinking about my talents that I had as a composer, you know, producing music, gigging. And I remember I wrote down all of the different ways that I could think of to make money with music. And then as I started looking into or reading books like Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and talking to different, reading his material and then talking to other people who were a part of network marketing companies and stuff like that. That idea attracted me, you know, to be able to have other people who work, who are part of a business, and they go out and work and you get a piece of their stuff. And so I ended up getting into different network marketing companies. And so, of course, you know, you learn a lot from being in those, and sometimes people can be successful, but you just have to push another, a brand or something else that can be something that's not your passion. So I remember going to a seminar. This was a while back, of course, when Donald Trump, he came to one of those conventions that I was at for the one I went to. And what up, D'Anthony? I see you. And so he said every time he wake up in the morning, he loves what he does. This was way before it was even a thought that he would be president. But he said, you got to love what you do. So if you don't love this business, you're not going to be successful. And so right at that point, I said that I need to get out of it. But what I did, I took the model and I started applying it to Jazz Webshed, the idea of Jazz Webshed. So by the time 2009 came around, I started Jazz Webshed, and then I was able to start making residual income from musicians all over the world signing up to have access to my training. And so that got started. And when you do business online, what I start seeing from being in the network marketing companies, and I was looking at how these guys who were not only a part of network marketing companies, but you had people who were just information marketers. So what they were doing was they were targeting business-minded people in general, regardless of what area focus you're in. You know, it can be a network marketing company, it can be someone who's an influencer of some sort or whatever. I saw what they were doing. They were just basically appealing to business people and then teaching them how to create information products by doing webinars, by creating books, by doing courses. Excuse me. And so I dug into a few of those guys, and even they were talking about how to launch a product. So it's a lot of internet marketers out there. And so I dug into their stuff. I was getting into their courses and getting into their membership sites and doing conference calls and webinars and stuff like that. And so I learned a great deal of stuff totally outside of my industry. And what I did, I came back to my industry to apply a lot of the stuff that I learned from these information marketers. And so that's what inspired me to, you know, do webinars, because I was doing a lot of webinars back then. I was doing, like I said, I had my CDs, I had different things that I was thinking about, but I never invested. Oh, I was investing into index funds. I was investing into mutual funds, and stocks came later because I was understood to stay away from stocks because it's more risky. And if you really want to make a lot of money, you got to stay on it and watch it. I mean, I know some musicians who actually do options trading and who do scalp trading, where they make a lot of money doing it, but I don't want to do it like that. You know, I liked real estate. To make a long story short, I ended up finding out about REITs. REITs are in real estate investment trust. It's okay to be a copycat as long as you copy the right cat. Right. That's true. But I ended up finding out about real estate investment trusts and the interest rate on those, you know, a lot of the ones that they have online, like 6, 7, 8%, something like that. If you want higher percentage for your return on your investment, you know, 12 and up, you got to be a accredited investor. And so you got to make over $250,000 a year. And so I started seeing that. And then I would always hear from, this was like earlier this year, I heard that most people who are millionaires or whatever have made their money in real estate. And real estate, you can get into it and invest and do pretty well on your returns if you get a good rental property. You know, you 20% return, and or, you know, anything where you're making hundreds a month on your money is a lot better than just 20, 30, 40, you know. So, but that's, you know, long story short, it's a lot of the materials that I was reading. And also scripture that inspired it was Ecclesiastes 11 and 11 through 1 through 8, where it talk about sowing your seed and different things, because you never know what evil be up on earth. You never know what will return good, maybe this or that, or maybe all will be alike good. And so I just got that idea, and then I started creating more streams of income, because that's you don't want to just be dependent upon a gig. And part of that was inspired when I was doing a lot of traveling and playing a lot of gigs, and really thinking about making my money just with music. It was taken away from my time to spend with my wife. And we had our heart to heart moment, and we talked about it, what, 10 years ago. And this was like when we was coming back from Lubbock, coming back to Fort Worth. And then as soon as we got back here, we got broken into, and they stole my horns and they stole my wife's computer. So it was like a really low point, you know. And I talk about it in my book, The Christian Musician, but it was a turning point, and I had to shift and change some things up. So that was part of the reason why I created these multiple streams as well, so I wouldn't have to be just dependent upon gigs. And especially me, I'm so picky, because I don't do top 40 gigs, you know. And here in Fort Worth, probably across the United States, it's just like that, because pop music and the culture, you know, it is what it is. But if you don't want to do that, then you got to create other streams of income. If you put a lot of time into music, you know, you want to play music, I'd rather play it the way I want to play it. And so I'd rather make money with teaching, because I do enjoy teaching and helping other folk, you know. So that's a big part of it too. But yeah, are there any books you can recommend to help in building our mindsets? Definitely. It's the first one, just which is like foundation to the business mindset, or like being able to understand the different types of thinking terms of business, is Rich Dad Poor Dad, you know. And he talked about the quadrants, where you got you got the business self-employed, you got business owner, investor, and I forgot the other one, maybe just employee. It's been a while. But if you look up that four quadrants, it might be a book in itself, or it might be a part of the Rich Dad Poor Dad. But he has a lot of good stuff. That's like first and foremost. The thing, I mean, it's a lot of different mindsets. So the Well, let's say this, Dave Ramsey is really big. So I focused on Dave for a while just to get rid of debt. And like, we was cool in terms of not having a lot of debt, because when I got out of school, I only had like $2,000 of student loan debt. And so I was able to pay that off. And thank God my wife's stuff is, her dad takes care of it. And, but the other stuff, I mean, I was able to, we didn't have a, we paid off our car, we paid off, we got a house in 2012, and then, so we got the house note, but we don't have, at the time we didn't have a lot of debt. I got debt now just because I bought some property, but, anyway, I was saying Dave Ramsey, just for the mindset of getting out of debt and really learning to discipline yourself. And I did stack up the 3 to 6 months of expenses and have an emergency fund. That's like foundational. Okay. Cause when you get into Robert Kiyosaki, he's going to tell you the opposite in terms of you got to know what good debt is and you got to know what bad debt is. Consumer debt is bad, but business debt is cool because you spent that money on something that's going to bring money into your pocket. So you need to understand the difference between liabilities and assets. And so once you start learning those things, then especially when you buy property, you see your property as an asset because your house will gain equity, and then you can use that equity to invest in other properties that'll bring money into your pocket. But like I said, some people have the mind frame that I'm gonna just work hard, do some extra gigs or side jobs or whatever, so I can get out of debt. But then once you start talking to business people or people who have a different mindset about debt, then it'll blow your mind because they don't look at it the same way. And so it's just different schools of thought, but you just have to have discipline first and not just spend your money on liabilities. That's the thing. But you get foundation is Dave Ramsey, and then Robert Kiyosaki is good to help you just understand the different ways of thinking about investing and understanding the difference between liabilities and assets. And also, it's a guy by the name of Michael Gerber. But his book, what's the name of that book? I went blank. The E-Myth. Excuse me. So the E-Myth is a good one. And that one, that guy, I think was a musician too. But that one teaches you, the subtitle is Why Most Small Businesses Fail and What to Do About It. And so he just talks about the difference from being self-employed and being a business owner. And so someone, you're self-employed, you got to wear all three hats from the standpoint of being the technician, the manager, and the business owner. And so that's what happens when you work for yourself, by yourself. You got to execute, you got to do whatever it is that you specialize in. Then you got to manage yourself, your time, your schedule, making sure you get stuff done when people ask you for something, whether it's recording some horn lines, or drawing something, I don't know, whatever business you're in, you got to manage yourself. And then from the standpoint of the business owner is the visionary. So you're thinking about the direction that the company or that your brand is going in. So, but that's a lot to do when you're doing it all by yourself. So he just talks about the difference between the two. But like I said, those three areas, you have to really replace yourself and put people in those areas to do the stuff for you. And I'm at that point where it's some stuff. The whole point was you only want to, I might be taking this from another book, but you only want to spend time doing the stuff that only you can do. Like when it comes to putting description or tags on videos or stuff or creating a thumbnail, I don't need to spend time doing a lot of that. It would be better if I have somebody else doing it, because I need to focus on spend my time on the thing that has the most value. And so because I'm the face of my brand, it's very important for me to create content. So what I'm doing now, I'm creating content. I'm sharing content. So from doing that, I'm inspiring you. I'm getting you excited, you know. And so that's bringing more value and attention into my brand. And so it's a numbers game. So the more you can put content out, the more people can find out about you, your products, your services, connect with you, buy a book, buy a CD or something. And so you really learn like how your economy works. Another one, I just thought about this because I said, how your economy works. This guy, Seth Godin, who wrote Tribes. He wrote a few. He wrote one, Tribes. He wrote one called Purple Cow. But he's a great thinker. He had something to do with email. I mean, inventing email. It was something connected with Yahoo. You have to go back and look for him, Seth Godin. But he's a great thinker when it comes to marketing. And so this whole idea of tribe is basically you have your audience. You become a leader for your audience, and you just keep creating content to serve your audience. And then you can grow, or basically your audience will be the lifeblood of your business, you know? So that one was really good. But, you know, all of this stuff I got from reading stuff outside of my industry, because what'll happen, you know, and everybody can't be the best at everything. You know, as musicians, we enjoy music. We enjoy how it makes us feel. We enjoy the challenge it gives us when we're learning new songs, you know, playing through different changes or sharing it with others, people enjoying our performances. I mean, that's all great. It's fine. And you know, we love that experience. But the business model that is attached to it has changed. And so, you know, whereas when I was working to create CDs, there was a time when I thought I was a superstar. Back in college, when I put out my first CD at 19, I could go to gigs and sell CDs. I was on campus selling CDs, local shops around the school. I was selling my CD, you know, felt pretty good. You know, I could go and sell physical CDs. Today, you know, I still sold some CDs on the gig we did the other day, but the digital age now has, changed that whole game. I mean, still, it's, and that's the thing about having an audience. And that's, I'm glad that I learned what I did with all of this stuff, because really you are the asset, you know. So when people love you and appreciate your brand, they're going to buy whatever you have to offer, like regardless. But what I was seeing is a lot of musicians wasn't focusing on that aspect. They wasn't thinking about themselves and having like a tribe or people or audience who believe in them, or just focusing on creating their own events or putting products out for their audience. It's more so cats be thinking, not just musicians, and I'm going into my musician language, but I can't help it. But people, sometimes folk get caught up into, and this is just how we are. It's like having shades on. You know, you're looking through those shades, the shade has a filter on it. And so you're looking at something through a certain perspective. And the thing that we have to do, I'm saying like being a musician, the whole musician world, and you know, you putting stuff up, you want people to buy your CD or buy your music, but really you can't look at it like that. You can't just have that small mindset or just be caught up in your own persona of being this great musician, or I don't know. It's an illusion. So what I did, I had to change my perspective and see myself as one who has a lot of different aspects and a lot of value, more so than just the music, because that really plays into the inspiration for my book, The Christian Musician. Because the whole thing was learn what your real gift is, so you can succeed with and beyond your music. And your music is just, your musical ability is just one aspect of who you are. And it's just one avenue that your giftedness can be displayed through. But, you know, like in my home, my family, my son and my daughter and my wife, they love me for who I am, not because I can play a song well. You know, that's all cool, but that really doesn't benefit them. They benefit from my leadership. You know, they benefit from, you know, how I love them, pay attention to them, spend time with them, you know, give wisdom and share. And, you know, so it's like, when you start thinking on those terms, you really see how small that one area of your life is, you know, in music. It's a stream, it's a brand, or it's a department or a section of your bigger empire. But what you start learning is, as you reach mastery, I guess, if you would, you know, in one particular area, you move on to something else. And so the creative process kind of starts all over again. But you really see that you might have maxed out in one area, or, you know, you start focusing on other areas in that particular, under the umbrella of that. So, you know, because it's one thing to get good on your instrument and be able to execute and play songs, but then, you know, you might have not created your own music, and then you start creating your own songs, then you got to start a process of learning your own voice and playing over your own music, and then developing a band and getting a good sound with the band, and then y'all have to develop as a group. But then at that point, you got to learn about your audience. Who's your target audience? Are they teenagers or early 20s, or the 30s or 40s. You got to learn what they like, why they like what you do, and really start creating a culture. And so once I start learning about those aspects, it kind of, you know, helped me to be a better creator and just think bigger. So I needed to have other investments going on in real estate, and so that it would actually support the overall place that I'm going, you know, because yeah. But really, I mean, my thing has always been teaching and performing, because I like to inspire people. I like to touch hearts and give good information, so that ultimately, you know, others can be free and, you know, be all that God wants them to be. you know, so we can not be in bondage and stuck, you know. All right. Who wrote Tribes Again? That's Seth Godin. Seth Godin. S-E-T-H G-O-D-I-N, I think. Yeah. But that's it. Just wanted to share a little bit on here and kind of shoot from the hip. And you know, give me some feedback. What you think about this format to have a kind of free open session where I can kind of just kind of talk and y'all can ask questions. And I'll have this recorded and I'll put it up on my website. And you can also check out the Productive Q podcast on iTunes. You can also check it out on other podcast platforms. Spotify, I know it's on there as well. Podbean. I also use Anchor. So you can definitely download the podcast app or Anchor and find me in there. But yeah, thank you. To find out how you can support me and what I'm doing, you can go to, how can you do it? Oh, go to KwamanFowler.com. Join the email list for that on the website. And then you will be notified when I'm having new things uploaded, like new videos, podcasts, and stuff like that. You know, I just did a performance that I shared the bill. We did it together with Phil French, another saxophonist from in the area. And so, yeah, it was nice. People enjoyed it. But we always got to do better with our turnout because, it's, you know, people are easily distracted these days. There's a lot going on. And a lot of folk don't want to get out the house, especially in Texas. We were kind of, you know, we were facing a football game. Cowboys was playing. And then I know in our community, the church community, it was another big event going on that I ended up going to after our event. But, you know, we got to definitely support each other. And because I was blessed from going to that other event and I posted about that. And it was right on time because my pastor had gave a message and he was talking about how, you know, energy, you know, you can't get human energy from the computer. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can feel a person's energy when you're around them in person. And it's nothing like going to a performance live, being there, seeing people, meeting people, talking, you know, to the performers and, you know, really feeling the whole experience. And if it helps us play different, you know, it's like an audience is a part of the performance, you know, so, and it encourages us to do more, to want to do more when people show up. And they enjoy themselves. And I had some great support. I had some folk there that bought a lot of CDs. And I, you know, and that's the thing. Sometimes I be so thinking about people probably don't want to buy them or they just can get it on iTunes. But really, people really want to support you, you know, especially if they're old, from the older generation, they still want something physical. And even now, I mean, cats are selling albums. So, yeah, it's very interesting, but it's more so when you got an audience of people who love you, they're going to support you. But we got to do better with supporting live events, though. All right. Well, I appreciate you. No problem. Thank you for hanging out with me, and we'll definitely do it again. I see all the hearts. I see the love, and I appreciate that because that really – like I said, you all even showing up on here and sticking your head in and listening, it helps. It helps encourage me to fine tune what I'm doing and get a better feel of what should I do and how I should do it in terms of the way to present it. So All right, so I got it recorded. We're done. And hopefully you enjoyed this podcast, and we will see you on another one. This is Quamon Fowler of the Productive Q Podcast.
You've been listening to the Productive Q Podcast, where we help you to overcome being unproductive so you can produce in the area of your passion. If you really enjoy this podcast and you would like to support it with a financial gift, go to bit.ly/supportPQ. That's bit.ly/supportPQ. Your financial support will help in the production of future programs. Thank you so much for listening.